We talked about what Hosanna means at the first service with the kids up front, waving our palm branches. And I asked him, there's going to be a big deal in Britain in a few weeks. Anybody know what it is? Coronation of King Charles. And they yell, long live the king. Hosanna, essentially, long live the king. It didn't take long for those cries to cease. But we say, Hosanna, the eternal living King. It's Palm Sunday, so I want to read the gospel lesson. It's only a few verses. The gospel lesson that's appointed for the entrance rite. When they had come near to Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. It's Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. We begin with a victory parade, and almost immediately we're in the middle of a funeral procession. It's a lot to take in, so I'm not going to add much to it. Those two episodes in these last days of Jesus' life are enough to contemplate. So let me just start with the parade. You remember years ago there was a slogan among Christians, WWJD. Remember? What would Jesus do? It's a good question, metaphorically. Literally, not so much. I'm not sure that the world would be a much better place if we all did what Jesus did and became itinerant preachers, couch surfing in our friends' homes and dependent on their generosity. Metaphorically, probably, what would Jesus do? It's a good question about ethics and, for that matter, environmentalism, because the one thing that comes to mind after that is a few of us, soon after those days of WWJD, what would Jesus drive, started asking WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus drive? And, of course, back in those days, we all agreed that it would probably be a Volkswagen Beetle, something small. Not a gas guzzler, remember, 1973, the oil embargo, when gas prices went from 25 cents to astronomical levels like a dollar and a quarter. So, what would Jesus drive? I'm not sure we ever came up with an accurate answer. Because, after all, the only thing that Jesus actually drove was, in the story immediately following this in Matthew's Gospel, he drove the money changers out of the temple. At least the populace took their work as a message that the life of faith is a transaction with God, not a relationship. But what would Jesus drive? Good question, in light of this reading. Because, well, I did it at the 9 o'clock service. I wore my Palm Sunday socks. They have donkeys on them. My reminder, that's what Jesus road. His arrival in Jerusalem at the beginning of the Passover is clear about... Sorry, Claire. His arrival in Jerusalem was clear about one thing. Jesus is not into stretch limos. That is not to say that you shouldn't rent one for a wedding or a prom or a funeral. I'm not saying that. But Jesus was not into luxury. He made a statement intentionally and with premeditation. He rode a donkey for a reason. When Caesar came to town, wherever he went, he rode in his chariot, four-horse chariot, with his soldiers, the text calls them cohort, with his soldiers in front and behind, and often enslaved captives from the latest territory he had vanquished, being driven in front of him. The difference between Jesus' entry and Caesar's entry would have been clear and stark to the people, residents of Jerusalem who had seen Caesar before, and to the Passover pilgrims there just for the week. Caesar, their conqueror, lounging in his armored stretch Humvee, and Jesus on his, if you will, rented electric scooter. Everyone seeing Jesus would have seen a prophet riding a symbol of servanthood and suffering and peace and humility. And any politically aware Roman sympathizer would have seen Jesus' entry as a sarcastic commentary about Rome. It's no wonder that that donkey ride spelled trouble for Jesus. So, enough for today. If you're wondering how to follow Jesus, those questions, what would Jesus do and what would Jesus drive, metaphorically, if you will, good questions. Consider how he lived, what he drove, how he would drive, and how and what we would drive in faithful service, discipleship to him. Consider that Jesus' mode of transportation took him down a road of humility, not triumph. Whatever we do and whatever we drive, may it be following Jesus to a life that is fully human and lovely in service. Amen.